Hello, Saints. Today I'm going to bring you a study on eternal employment that I had done. I just got out of working my 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. 12-hour shift, and I thought it would be kind of timely to go over this study while I have some chicken cooking in the oven. So, eternal employment. I'll start with Ephesians 4, 1 to 3. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So I want to start out by asking the question, what is a covenant? And the definition of a covenant is an agreement or promise, usually formal, between two or more people or groups to do or not to do something specified. Another question I ask then is employment considered a covenant? Well, when you accept a job for mammon, oftentimes much paperwork is filled out and many documents are signed, entering into an agreement with that company. Most of these contracts can be broken down into pretty simple elements. You agree to show up and perform the duties outlined in the job, and the employer agrees to pay you that which is promised if you show up and complete the duties of the job. Employment always has its conditions, and it comes down to the responsibility of the worker and the employer to fulfill their agreements in the covenant. The two parties are not locked in, though, as the employee can decide to leave at any time, and the employer can choose to fire that employee if the duties are not being completed, ending the covenant. So this topic on eternal employment really goes back to the nature of who God is, who the Lord has shown himself to be, a covenantal God. And he has many, many covenants, and I encourage you to go on don'tperish.com and look up my brother Tupos's articles on the covenants of God. There were a lot of them, and many people don't know how many there actually were. And he's actually formed a new covenant in the New Testament after the sacrifice of his son on the stake. And we see that in Matthew 26:28. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. So, under this new contract, man is required to obey the commandments of God, placing faith in the risen Savior and his perfect righteousness, Jesus being the only way to the Father. We in no way could work our way to heaven. We need Jesus' perfect righteousness, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. But we do have a role to fulfill in the covenant which God has laid out, the New Testament, as we read in Matthew 26. And now I'll read Hebrews 5:9, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. John 15:10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. John 14:6-7, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. So one might say we've entered into an agreement with God if we place our faith in him and agree to all of the rules outlined, and one of those rules is losing our life, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. But we agree to do God's will and not our own will. That's part of the new covenant. That's part of the New Testament. Dropping our own ambitions, our passions, our affections, crucifying them, and following after Christ, taking up our cross. So, as an earnest of our inheritance, if we agree to that, the Lord gives those who obey him the Holy Spirit to help man fulfill his end of the covenant, keeping him in the narrow way. So he actually gives us a comforter, a helper to help us in our side of the covenant, which is awesome. Acts 5:32. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. 2 Corinthians 1:22, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts, earnest being a down payment. It's almost like a foretaste of what's to come. So we sign the paperwork for this new job in serving the Lord, and we hand over our lost life, we hand over our sin, every weight that so easily besets us, placing our faith in what his son did on the stake for our sin, willing to follow after him. That's the big key. A lot of people aren't doing in the church systems, and everyone who's claiming Christ, you have to follow after Christ. It's part of the New Testament in spirit and truth as well. Hebrews 12:1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And as we read above, through the help, through the power of the Holy Spirit, walking in the Spirit, we're able to do this. John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's part of the new covenant, that's part of the testament. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If you're not in the truth, seeking him in spirit and truth, and only truth, not man-made traditions, not adding or taking away from the scriptures, just what is in the scriptures, you have no hope of eternal life unless you're doing that. So in response, part of that response, the Lord grants us the spirit of promise, making us a new creature, giving us the power to overcome through his word and obey all that he's told us to do, promising us eternal life. Now that's the thing. If you show up and do the job, you agree to the covenant, you show up, you do what's commanded of you have promises, you have a payday in a worldly sense. Promising us eternal life, that's a big payday, and much more for our service to him. And my brother Zelos did an excellent article on promises. He's actually working through some of the New Testament promises right now. Go check it out. Followgospel.com. Really edifying articles on that. So I'll read Matthew 25:23. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Good and faithful servant. I like that. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. So being faithful over a few things, what he's given us in the covenant, what he's given us in the New Testament, to follow after him in spirit and truth. If we endure in this covenant, that's another part of it. It's not just sealed up, locked up. He signs you into the covenant, you're sealed up. No, you can leave at any time, just like I said with the job. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. If we endure in this covenant, casting off willful sin and faithfully completing the duties of our job, serving the Lord will give us everything he promised since the beginning of the agreement. This is the eternal aspect of our employment. Life eternal is a promise outlined in the contract. And we can see this in Mark 10, 29 to 30. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. That is an awesome promise. You'll receive a hundredfold now in this time, and in the world to come eternal life. That's a beautiful promise. So finally, and I just talked about this a little bit before, finally, I encourage those who prescribe to the false doctrine of once saved, always saved, which I used to be deceived in, to test that idea to the character of God and all covenantal agreements in the world and in Scripture. You can't find one employer of man that is once hired, always hired. At least it's very rare. Very, very rare. And you can't find one example in the world of once married, always married. There's a reason the Lord uses examples like a soldier, and you see that in 2 Timothy 2, 3 to 4, a laborer, Matthew 9, 37 to 38, a workman, Matthew 10, 10, and a bride, Revelation 22:17, all of whom bend their own will in service of their employer or spouse, but are free to leave at any point. God doesn't want robots, but those who cheerfully give their life in service of Him. And check out my brother Tupos' teaching on cheerful giving. That'll really edify you. Because it's not only we're supposed to give our monetary, our riches, the things God's given us, the different possessions we have, but it's our time, it's our energy, it's our love. We're supposed to be a cheerful giver in all things. Therefore, give your life over to this eternal occupation and be a pillar in the temple of the Lord as He has made all things for His glory. And this is a great verse, a great promise. Revelation 3:12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Beautiful promise if we hold and endure in the covenant that he's outlined for us. Revelation 4:11. Finally, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So consider the eternal employment you've signed up for if you're walking with the Lord. If you're not, consider signing that contract, consider signing that agreement, giving your whole life over to the Lord. You won't be sorry. There's so many promises that the Lord promises for us. A big payday in worldly terms, like I've been saying, a big payday is on the horizon. We just have to endure. And there's another verse that just came to mind. Let's see if I can find it really quick here. Yeah, Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from b the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, as we talked about before. He gives it to those who obey him, who want to follow in his covenant, want to follow after him. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. And that's the earnest of the Spirit we talked about before. So consider signing that agreement, signing that covenant, salvation of your souls, and much more. That's my study on eternal employment. I hope you were blessed by that. I hope you were edified by that. And I hope you have a great rest of your day. I'm going to be sleeping through the day. I got another shift coming up, 7 p.m. start time. But may God be praised in whatever you do today. Amen.